it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. There's a moment in every trip where the magic can quietly tilt into something else. It's the stranger who knows too much. The invitation that feels generous until it doesn't. The realization that connection and risk often travel side by side. And you don't always know which one you're experiencing until it's already happening. We talk a lot about how travel opens us up to beauty, to freedom, to the unknown. And today's guest understands better than most how thin that line can be. Today we're chatting with Azzedine Almostakim, founder of Destinations Morocco and host of the Destination Morocco podcast, a show with more than 100 episodes dedicated to helping travelers understand Morocco, not just as a destination, but as a living, breathing place filled with stories, customs, and contradictions. Born and raised in Marrakesh, with deep roots in the Berber village of Telawat, Azzedine has spent his life moving between worlds, even relocating to the U.S. while never losing his connection to home. Through his work, Azzedine has heard it all. Stories of travelers wandering into hidden alleyways they didn't expect to find. Encounters with locals that began with hospitality and ended as something far more complicated. Moments where living your best life on vacation suddenly carried an edge of unpredictability and sometimes real danger. As the host of Destination Morocco podcast and a voice featured on shows like Amateur Traveler, Azzedine has become a keeper of these stories. With a reach of more than 21,000 travel professionals and podcasters, he's heard firsthand how often journeys don't go the way they were planned, and how those moments tend to linger longer after the trip ends. Let's dive into the space where curiosity meets caution, about what travelers don't always see coming, and why people you meet on the road can change everything, for better or for worse. Azzedine, thank you so much for joining us on the last trip.
You're very welcome, Jamie. I really appreciate the opportunity. I'm very grateful. This is going to be fun. Thank you.
It is. I'm excited. You were born and raised in Marrakesh with family roots in the Berber village of, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but Telawat. When you think about home, when you think about Morocco, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I would say tranquility, peace, friends, adventure. A lot of things really come to mind. A lot of memories, childhood memories. when I was a kid, as a teenager. So it's beautiful memories.
I love that. And you did eventually move to the U.S., but clearly your heart never left Morocco. What was the moment that you decided to start telling stories about Morocco and create that awareness? How did the Destinations Morocco podcast become a thing?
That's a really good question, Jamie. There's actually two. There's Destinations Morocco, the tour company, then the podcast, which is Destination Morocco podcast, which came in years later. So me and my wife would go back and forth, you know, in Morocco. We're neighbors back home. When we had our son in 2015, things changed. I mean, kids, they really change your life. For us, we knew our background, but it was important for us, for him, to know his roots. So we created the company that he really inspired us. He's an American. He lives in the U.S., but he also knows that his roots go back all the way to North Africa, and that's very crucial. Since he was born, he has been to Morocco 3 or 4 times. And he loves it, and he's very in tune with the culture, with the people and family and his cousins and friends. So in that regard, I feel really good, like we have done our job. We have reached our goal. That's what inspired us to create the company. Then in 2021, during the pandemic, I was doing some homework and research, and I was really listening quite a bit to Donald Miller's podcast, Business Made Simple. Mm-hmm. He recommended that as a small business, you really have to have a podcast because the medium is really going to blow up in the next few years. So it's very important to start kind of early. So me and my producer, Ted, we started doing some homework. We worked on it for about a year, and I had no idea we were headed with it. But it turned out that we are actually creating something really valuable for a lot of travelers, a lot of awareness. And that's how we really started the podcast. The podcast took off on its own. And now we see it as a separate entity, a business on its own versus just being part of the tour company.
Tell me a little bit about the tour company. As a single woman, is this something that I would go for?
Oh, 100%. That's a really good question. Just to give the audience a little bit of a background and data about who our target audience and the people that travel with us, 98% of people that travel with us, women, actually do the homework. They do the research. They're the ones that are reaching out to us and doing all the discovery call. We're building the itinerary and so forth. So in terms of women, we do quite a bit of female solo travelers. But when you say a solo female traveler, the person, she's not really alone all the time. She has a private car with her all the time, a driver dedicated to her. So those are constant with her throughout the tour. Then you have a local guide in every major city that we go to. So she's not really alone, but she has that freedom to control the itinerary and still do whatever she wants during that tour. So this is one part of it. And mainly the tour company, we help all the travelers that are struggling to create a complex itinerary in Morocco. So we help them create that. And also that way they enjoy Morocco like a local.
I think that's amazing. So I've traveled a lot solo and I love it, but there are some times and some countries where I think I would have benefited more from a guide or being around more locals that could show me around, things like that.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tell me a little bit about Morocco. Why are people going there? Is it safe? What is there to do? As if I don't know anything about Morocco, because I actually haven't been there. So tell me all about it.
Okay. Morocco is a very diverse country. It is magical. It is beautiful. It's very exotic. The colors, the smell. Once you get there, you're going to tell yourself, why haven't I been here earlier? Morocco to America, it's because of the distance. There's not a lot of things known about Morocco. But if you look at the Europeans, they love Morocco. They travel to Morocco, you know, few times a year, if you would, because a weekend in Europe is different than a weekend in the United States. So what makes it beautiful and worth visiting is the people that you meet. The culture is very diverse. We have thousands of layers of history, art, diversity. So there's so much to see. And the landscape changes every 45 minutes, whether you're driving on the north side of Morocco, the south side of Morocco, or the coastal part of Morocco. If you like the ocean, we have two oceans. We have the Atlantic Ocean part, then we have the Mediterranean part. We have snow, we have mountains, we have the desert. So it's the landscape is very, very diverse. So there's so much, so many things to do and see in Morocco.
Is there a side of Morocco that most tourists go through? And is there a side that you think people are missing out on that they should go to?
That's a really good question. But before I answer that, Jamie, I remember you said safety. Is Morocco safe? Yes, Morocco is very safe. Just to give you a little bit of perspective how safe Morocco is, I was there last month. I was there, you know, since November, and I came back Christmas Eve. And when I got there, there was Interpol, the International Interpol meeting in Marrakesh. So that's really, really big deal. So if Morocco was not safe, they would not have that meeting in Marrakesh. This is number one. And then we just wrapped up the African Cup of Nations, the soccer tournament, and also the FBI paid a visit to Morocco because of the organization of the soccer tournament, because United States is hosting a part of the World Cup in summer 2026. And the other thing that you pay attention to in terms of safety, you will see the checkpoints, the police checkpoints, they are next to each other, less than a mile away from each other. The police presence is very strong. And those are the ones that you see on uniforms. But then there's the other ones. We have a police that is dedicated to tourists. And those are the ones they monitor in the Medina, the narrow streets, the areas where tourists are. Then you have different agencies. They just look like regular people, but they are actually part of the police force in Morocco. Then one thing that I really noticed, because this question, everybody asks me the same question, safety, safety, safety. And it is extremely valid question and concern. When I was in Morocco, I was in Marrakesh, that's where I was born. And I've seen, you know, people going to school every day, and I see them crossing the streets in the morning, midday, and later afternoon, and they're just by themselves. I mean, these are like 7, 6 years old, 10 years old, with no fear. They're just crossing the street, going to school, or crossing the street, going back to their homes. And, you know, that's a really, really very good indicator that the place is very safe. And the next question that you had is some parts that are being missed out in terms of Morocco. Yes, because the places that you see now and all the large tour operators in America or globally, they're promoting, you know, I would say probably about 10 different cities or destinations or villages and stuff like that. But there's so much more to see to Morocco. But that trend is going to change probably within next 5 to 10 years.
I love that. And, you know, with the safety, I think so many people have misconceptions about other parts of the world. I have done a lot of research on Morocco, and I do know it's very safe, safer than most countries from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. Being a woman, I'm always looking at the safest place I can go to. How is Morocco with solo women travelers versus going as a group or a family?
It is very safe. I promise you, it is very safe. You still need to watch out, and everybody's going to be approaching you since they see you by yourself. They want to sell you stuff. They want to invite you and stuff like that, but be vigilant. Morocco is very, very safe. Just to give you an idea, if we're talking about Marrakesh, in the Medina, the square of the Jamaat, which is a World Heritage Site since 1985, the biggest police station in Marrakesh is right there. I mean, you can see it. And everywhere in there is under surveillance. So anything happens, the police, within less than 5 minutes. So it's really, really safe. Then, because tourism in Morocco, it's huge. Just to give you an idea, and to the listeners, Jamie, every household in Morocco, they have at least one family member that works in tourism. Tourism supports everybody in Morocco, directly or indirectly. This is from His Majesty the King, the government. Tourists are very sacred in Morocco, and the punishment for doing something illegal is very, very severe.
What are some cultural differences? Because you've lived both in Morocco and the United States. What are some interesting cultural differences that you noticed between the two countries?
That's a really good question. Because when I left, it was 30 years ago. So obviously, a few things have changed. For example, shaking hands with women, don't shake a hand unless she gives you her hand to shake. Hugs sometimes are okay, But if you go to villages, you meet the family, whether it's an experience. If somebody extends their hand to you to shake it, just shake it. If they want to hug you, just hug them. But don't initial those movements. You know, eye contact obviously is very important. And also just a small gesture that you do, just learn a few words in the native language, the Darija, the Moroccan dialect. You know, salam, which means peace. It's very popular in terms of greeting. If somebody passes by you, just say salam, they'll say salam back to you. It makes them comfortable. Just to make it a little bit easier in terms of integrating, just wear some local clothes. I know sometimes in summertime you can buy like a Moroccan jersey, the national team, or you know some we call them jilaba or kaftan for the ladies. It makes you really like you fit in or you live there instead of just visiting. Also, if you're in the mountains, somebody invites you for a tea. Sometimes if you say no, they get upset. But you know, if somebody invites you for a tea, just take a sip, say thank you, and keep moving with your day. Sometimes because whether you're in Fez, in Essaouira, Marrakesh, and Rabat, those old Medinas, if you want to take pictures, just ask. Because the vendor, they expect to be compensated. In terms of money, we're talking maybe $2, $3, but at least just ask. That way they don't get offended. If you're taking a picture of the kids, the same thing, ask the adults that are accompanying the kids, because they may not like it.
You mentioned wearing some clothes that you might find in Morocco. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Is there a certain style that you would want to stay away from or go towards when you're there? Because it's pretty warm there, right?
It does get pretty warm, absolutely, especially in the summertime. Just to give the audience a little bit of numbers, especially Marrakesh, Fez, where is that, where it gets the desert also, an average of 120 degrees Fahrenheit, that's very common in July and August. In terms of the clothes, what to wear, if you're in the square or a vendor, they know exactly what to sell you. Just something basic, like a local jersey or something that says Marrakesh or Morocco. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be $5 and stuff like that. This question comes up quite a bit, but I also tell people, you can dress up the way that you feel comfortable, your regular clothes, because in Morocco, everybody's expect you to be comfortable, to look comfortable. So whether you dress back home, it's perfectly fine when you get to Morocco.
I love that.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I know we have a lot of foodies that listen. What are some foods that you have to try in Morocco that you can't get anywhere else?
Oh, my goodness. I love food, Jamie. We can talk about Moroccan cuisine, and we can also talk about street food in Morocco. The street food has changed tremendously for the last 5 years, and it has gotten so much better. And the biggest place to have it and one of the best places is the Jemaa Fna Square in Marrakesh. You'll see the vendors, they start prepping in the square, you know, around before sunset. I mean, around, I would say it depends on the season. Then they have their places and they'll be inviting everybody. So, and I remember, you know, Andrew Zimmer, when he visited Morocco and he went to the square and he said, just follow your nose. If it smells good, just eat it. And that's what I would say as well. You know, it's going to be an amazing experience. Then there are certain food that is associated with certain cities. For example, in Marrakesh, it's known for tangia. And then Fez is known for bastila. Those are some of the food delicacies. They are very delicious. They are normally served in specific occasions, a celebration, if it's a wedding, engagement, and stuff like that. So then obviously to a lot of people, couscous. And couscous, it's a very tiny pasta that it's steamed, you know, a few times. And it can be made simply with vegetables, or it can be made with lamb, with beef, with goat meat, or chicken. And there's so many different ways to make it. It really varies from household to household, from city to city. For example, couscous in Marrakesh is different than Casablanca, than Fez, because of the vegetables that they use and things like that. When we look at the Amazigh or the Berber people, their couscous is very different than the city. So those are the things that you're going to hear quite a bit, couscous and then tagine. Tagine really is the dish where the food is served. It's super diverse and very popular with beef, goat, chicken, or just vegetables. Those are the two most popular that you're going to be hearing in Morocco, tagine and couscous. And again, they can be prepared in many different ways. Just to give you an idea, last year, Moroccan cuisine has ranked number one globally, and it has been that way, you know, I would say the top three for the last 5 years. So it's very diverse, very delicious, and don't miss it. You're going to love it.
I'm definitely hungry now. Let's switch gears a little bit. There are a lot of tourists going to Morocco. What are some things tourists might be doing that you wish they wouldn't? You know, people are on vacation. Everybody acts differently on vacation. Are there some things that you see tourists doing, some mistakes they do that maybe we could right some wrongs here?
Oh, that's a really good question, Jim. For the majority of the time, I've seen tourists doing extremely well. Sometimes, you know, like with the taxis, I've seen them, they're easy to scam. When you get to Morocco, everybody's going to be smiling at you. But behind that smile, it's really genuine. And the other one, it's going to cost you some money at the end of the transaction. So those are the ones that I see. Sometimes I jump in and say, hey, be careful, it's a scam. Or sometimes there's nothing really that I can do. So because they are excited, they want to do things. One of the biggest ones, as we all know, is taxis. Things are getting a little bit better, but it's still very difficult to avoid those scams. The other ones to avoid, when you get to Morocco, you're going to see signs on the streets, especially on the square, that says excursions, day tours, and all that stuff. Stay away from those because they're just gypsies. They will scam you, they'll cramp you in a bus and take you, and it's not what they tell you it is. You will definitely be scammed. It doesn't seem like it in the beginning, but at the end, it's one of the most popular scams in tourism in Morocco. They'll tell you, yeah, I can take you to the desert for $300, but then that $300 at the end becomes $3,000.
And I think that happens in every tourist area. There's always those signs, and a lot of them are scams for sure. You have to do your research.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Where can tourists go if they want to really immerse themselves into the culture and not be a tourist, but really feel like a local?
Oh, my goodness. I love that question, Jamie. You answered the question, actually, because the biggest trend we have seen in 2025 is the tourists, the travelers, they want to immerse themselves with the locals. They want to do a Berber experience, whether it's a lunch, whether it's dinner, whether it's a sleepover, whether it's donation to the locals. So the locals is really, really key for a lot of travelers. You know, they've traveled in so many different places, but they want to travel with a meaning. So they want to explore the nomads in the desert. They want to go to the Khimliya village and know the history behind it and the story of the Gnawa music in the Khimliya village versus the Gnawa music in Essaouira, and how different and how common are they. They want to know the people that still live in a cave in the north part of Morocco, and that cave has been there for 29 generations. It's so many things, but they all want to be involved and do things with the local community, whether it's the north side of Morocco, the south side of Morocco, or the desert.
I am definitely one that I try to avoid the tourist places and really get into the culture, because that's why I travel, to learn more about cultures. What are some activities that tourists can get into that are maybe more of a teaching moment than just a skiing moment?
That's a good question, Jamie. They can do a calligraphy class, you know, Arabic calligraphy class. They can do a painting class in many different places. They can do a pottery class, a music class. We just talked about Gnawa music. It can be a day trip where you can learn and dance Gnawa music. So many things that they can do in terms of learning. Painting comes to mind quite a bit. Anything that they really want to do, they can do. This is one of the good things about the itineraries we build. All of them are customizable. There's no two itineraries that are the same. And they're all geared towards the traveler. Whatever they want, that's exactly how we create that itinerary for them. And you can have a street food experience. You can have a cooking class. You can have a spa. You can have a massage, and hot air balloon, a camel ride, anything that they can think of. And that's really the beauty of it.
We know that crime happens in every corner of the world, every country, everywhere. Different countries have different crimes pertaining to travelers and tourists. What are some mistakes or things that tourists do that can put them more at risk in Morocco? And what are those crimes that they're more at risk for?
The most common crime is theft. They'll scam you. This happens every day in Morocco. You'll be scammed either for a few dollars, probably for a few hundred dollars, probably for a few thousands of dollars. You'll be scammed. So those are the most common. The other thing to prepare yourself not to be scammed is don't be flushing money everywhere, or, you know, or when you reach out to your pocket and you want to pay, bring everything in your wallet. No, when I go to Morocco, different pockets I put different bills. And the bills in Morocco, they are color-coded. There's the 200 dirhams, which is the equivalent to $20, then the brown equivalent to $10, then the green equivalent to $5. So the large bills, it's very seldom that I have them with me. I always carry small bill in terms of changes. So the $5, the $2 bills, those are the ones that I carry the most. If I need to pay somebody or something, they can see that I'm not carrying much cash with me, because cash, they're not going to rob you with, you know, with your credit card, but they're looking for cash. So that's one of the things that I would definitely do and pay attention to. We had some deaths in Morocco in terms of tourists. The last one, probably a few years ago, somebody was killed. It's very tragic. It's super, super unfortunate. But the guys, I think, who did it were associated with some extremists. This is extremely unusual, but you have to be very careful. The most common thing that can happen to you is you get robbed. But we don't have any guns in Morocco, not even knives and stuff, but they lure you to a bazaar or somewhere because of those narrow streets over the Medina. And then they'll take you to a bazaar and just lock the doors behind you and start, you know, just showing you the carpets, which one you're going to buy and stuff like that. And eventually you're going to have to pay to get out of that situation or negotiate. So those are the ones that I have seen. And also, we have done some scam podcast episodes. A lot of people DM me and say, hey, I was about to be scammed, but listen to that episode. Really, really saved me. Because when the scam is unfolding, it's very hard to tell that you're going to be scammed. But then again, you have to trust your guts. If something doesn't feel right, it probably is not right. You get yourself out of that situation.
I totally agree. We always talk about trust your gut because you can usually tell when something doesn't feel right. And along that line, on the last trip, we talk a lot about people who go missing or are tragically killed while they're traveling. What do you think are some warning signs that people can look for to get out of situations like that?
I would say this does not happen very often. It is extremely rare for this to happen in Morocco. But I would say probably anywhere you go, just make sure you're sharing your location with your friends and family. Make sure that you're connected to your friends and family via WhatsApp. Talk to them every day so they know if you haven't spoken to them in a day or so, they are alert something is not right and they can reach out to the authorities. Make sure that, you know, the driver, for example, you have your driver, make sure you have his contact and share it with family so they can reach out to him. Also communicate well. If you're going on a group tour, like Melissa said on the last episode, you're traveling with strangers, but at least just share one or two numbers with your family so they know that somebody is with you and they can reach out to them just in case if they cannot really get to you. It's all really about communication and kind of micromanaging it, if you would. It's very seldom that this happened in Morocco, but unfortunately it did. That's one of the ways I can think of, Jamie, just to be very safe and very careful.
Those are all great things, great advice. Are there any myths that you can think of that maybe people in other countries feel about the crime or the danger in Morocco that isn't real, that we can demystify right now?
I think demystifying will definitely come with time. But because of the media and the way they show Morocco, you know, perception versus the reality are very, very different. So Morocco is very fun. There's so much freedom in Morocco. It's kind of difficult for a lot of people to really understand when it is. There's a lot of freedom in Morocco. It's a lot of fun. It's very diverse. There's no system. Anything really goes. Just like you said in your episode, there's chaos and beauty in it. Just whatever goes, just go with the flow and enjoy it. And the most important, just immerse yourself with the culture, with the people, and people will love you for it. So it's an amazing destination.
Whenever I travel, I always want to be polite, accommodating. But there are times when it's best not to be, when you need to walk away, when something in your gut is telling you that things are going wrong. What's a good way to walk away, to get out of a situation in Morocco without escalating danger or violence if you do come in contact with somebody who you think is scamming you or something else?
That's a really good question. In most cases, when this happens, it happens in a crowded area. It's a good thing because you can get yourself out of that situation easy. The most difficult, if you're lost in an alleyway and it's narrow and you don't know which way to go to get out of it to the major streets or, you know, where more people are, it's very difficult. So one of the best ways, just act as, you know, somebody's on the phone with you or you're talking to somebody on the phone. If you are in a crowded area, just put your arms up and say, hey, help, help, or leave me alone. They will run. So because, you know, in crowded area, there's so many different ways for the tourists to be scammed, whether it's fake local guides, fake helpers by the city. They'll say, hey, you know, I'm here for free. I work for the city. They are paying me. You don't have to pay me. At the end, they'll ask you for payment if you spend some time with them or give you direction or something. So just be careful. Again, if you're traveling with a group, you're good. That's one of the best ways to experience Morocco. Those incidents you will see in the major cities. Once you're in the mountains, once you're in the desert, none of that stuff really exists. So you will experience everything you mentioned in Marrakesh. You will experience it in Fes. Sawira, no, because it's a very laid back city. But those are the two major cities that you would experience something like that. Again, because they're number one and number two tourist attractions in Morocco.
And what if I wanted to go to Morocco and kind of travel around the country? Is that something that's easy to do? What are the best ways to do something like that, to see the most of Morocco in like a two-week time period?
A two-week time period is very good. It'll give you the ability to see the north side of Morocco and the south side of Morocco and also immerse yourself in the culture, the tradition, the people. It's really, really good time to spend in Morocco in terms of 2 weeks. Now, if you're going to do this on your own, I would not recommend it because you're just going to lose a lot of time and you're not going to see much. For example, we're in the Roman ruins city of Volubilis. You're going to just see rocks. Rocks, they just look like rocks. There's no story behind them. Nobody's telling you the history. Nobody's showing you everything and all behind the scenes. Doing it by yourself, I definitely would not recommend it. For the first time you're traveling to Morocco, I would say always have somebody with you. Just hire a company. They get you the car. They get you the driver. Those are the minimum. Then you can get the local guides because the local guides, they make or break your tour. And you really want that experience because you're going to learn so much. And when you come back for the second time, now you have the experience. Now you've been here. So now you can do this on your own. But again, driving, it's very challenging. I would still say stay away from it as much as you can. Also, I don't recommend the public transportation, not because it's not good, but it's going to cost you time. So that's the only thing. Then when you go into the southern part of Morocco, you definitely need to hire somebody because you cannot do it on public transportation.
Would you suggest that people stay in hotels, Airbnbs? What's the normal thing that people do for where they stay?
That's a very good question. It really depends. The best experience, I highly recommend Riyadhs versus hotels. The hotels, they tend to look the same anywhere you go. But if you're traveling by yourself or a small group, maybe 2-4 people, 6 or even 8, a Riyadh is the best way to go. Now, if you're going on a group, then you don't have an option except hotels for the most part because the Riyadhs, some they'll have 5 rooms, some they have 7, some will have maybe 10 or so. But definitely recommend Riyadhs. And again, the other places, you know, people can do that. But then again, I've seen people in their 20s doing the hostels and stuff. But for different generations, different age group, I see the Riyadhs are more popular than hotels. that's what I would recommend, traveling to Morocco and choosing the accommodations in Morocco.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I love that. And on the last trip, we talk about crime.
Yes.
You know, I don't ever want anybody to feel like, oh, I don't want to go to that place because people are getting murdered there or people are going missing, because that happens anywhere. You know, it's a lot of responsibility to be honest about what happened to somebody, but still love that country that you're talking about. Do you also feel the weight of the responsibility of telling stories honestly on your podcast, what it's really like versus what maybe you see versus what other people see?
I 100%. And the funny part is the podcast has been incredible to us. When people listen to us on the podcast, they trust us and book their discovery call. So when we talk, I mean, they give me the feedback. They tell me, I felt you're more honest versus this other company or that other company. Because this is something that we owe to the audience, because we put in something out there. You know, we're changing lives, but we don't see it that way. Because if we say the wrong things, if we put the wrong things, it's just going to come back to us in a very negative way. We did 4 episodes about scams in Morocco. And one of the episodes, it is terrible. It's when you listen to it, it looks like we do not like Morocco. We do not promote Morocco, but we have to be honest. And a lot of people respect you because of that honesty. So we really owe the audience, we have to be honest. If we say the good, we say the bad, but we still love Morocco and we still want to promote Morocco and how safe it is and for people to come and visit Morocco. So definitely we owe it to the audience.
I love the honesty behind it. What can listeners expect when they tune into the Destination Morocco podcast? What are some of the things you talk about?
Well, it really depends. We have episodes that we have done with some of the travelers, families or couple, you know, 2 or 4 or 6 that they have visited Morocco, you know, with us. And then we do have quite a bit of solo female travelers that went with us and they came back and were a guest on the podcast. And then some, we just, me and my producer, Ted, we talk about culture. We talk about preparation for your trip. Then some I have with local guides, some with the experiences. Some just me, sometimes my team. So it's very diverse. We talk about what to expect for 2026 in terms of travel. We did that for 2025. We had some live Q&A we added to the podcast. So it's very diverse. We talk about Casablanca specifically. Then we talk about Marrakesh specifically, whether it takes us 2 episodes or 3, then Fes, then Chefchaouen, and then Volubilis, then Rabat. So anybody wants to really dive into Morocco and do their homework to Morocco. I think nowadays we are really spoiled in terms of the information available to us online, but also it's kind of scattered everywhere. So the podcast really gives you an opportunity to have everything in one place. Plus the other research that you have done, you can see how we do itineraries. You can see how we built them, had everything really from A to Z that is related to Morocco. It's a one-stop shop, if you would.
And where can people find your podcast, website? How can people connect with you for a tour, maybe ask questions, Instagram?
Oh, absolutely. The podcast, they can listen to us anywhere they get their podcast. The podcast name is Destination Morocco Podcast. Then our website is destinationsmorocco.com. That's destinations with an S, morocco.com. And when you get to the website, the best way to get to reach us is, you know, book your discovery call. It's free. It says 30 minutes, but we can go over or we can have as many as you like. And also you'll have some links to LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And those are one of the best ways to reach us.
One last question. If someone came to Morocco looking for transformation, adventure, escape, what's the one thing that you'd want them to remember so their trip doesn't become an episode of The Last Trip?
That's a good one, Jamie. When you go to Morocco, lower your expectations. Open yourself up to immerse yourself in the culture with people. Morocco is beautiful, but the best part of Morocco is the people. It's the hospitality. They are very, very hospitable, very generous. So that's what I would, it would absolutely change your life. I promise you.
Well, I can't wait to visit Morocco. I'm very excited. It's going to happen sooner or later. And we'll put everything in the show notes, your podcast, website, and all that. Thank you so much for telling us all about Morocco and the advice. Can't wait to go. And I hope everybody else out there is headed to Morocco too.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I'm super grateful for this opportunity. It's amazing. And thank you for feeding me in your podcast. I really, really, really appreciate it, Jamie. Thank you.
Travel has a way of revealing things we don't always expect. It can open doors to beauty, to connection, to moments that stay with us forever. But as Azzedine reminded us today, it can also place us in unfamiliar spaces where the rules aren't written in our language and where curiosity without context can quietly turn into risk. Morocco isn't a place to fear. It's a place to understand. And understanding requires more than photos, itineraries, or highlight reels. It requires listening. It requires respect. And sometimes it requires knowing when to walk away. Azzedine's stories, from his own life, from his travelers, and from years of hosting the Destination Morocco podcast, remind us that the people we meet on our travels can change everything. Sometimes they become guides. Sometimes they become warnings. And sometimes they're the reason a trip lingers in your memory long after you've returned home. If you want to hear more about Azzedine's work, you can find the Destination Morocco podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll link everything in the show notes. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod and subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.